Maybe he's more humble. I don't know. Well, I've been sifting really. What does the Lord want to share with us tonight? Kind of got in my heart. I know what He wants to say tomorrow, but you know, we've been talking just on the day and a half we've been here, and what keeps coming up is this. The standard of the Lord and the Gospels that we hear, the different types of Gospels, isn't it? And one of the things, if I dare be bold for a brief moment, unlike me, I know, but we see so many different kinds of television programs these days, don't we, where, you know, the restaurateurs, you know, you get these programs. This is the bit the restaurant owners don't want you to see, and they film all the kitchens with the rats and the mold and so on, you know. And then you get what the holiday companies don't want you to see, you know, which is in the showers and the cockroaches and all the rest of it, you know. God always seems to give me the messages, what the preachers don't want you to hear, you know. What the religious don't want you to understand. Because the gospel of the kingdom is a narrow way, isn't it? It's a narrow thing. One of the things that I think more Christians are becoming aware of because of the condition of the world is that we are entering into probably the final phase of time. You know, when we look at the sin and the condition of the world, and for those who know the scriptures well, there is a sequential prophetic order, and we see that being completed. So we know by the word of God, actually, things are at the end. And if you read Matthew 24... one of the things that is the a statement that Jesus makes at the end of Matthew 24, when he's describing these sequential events of the end of the age, is this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the nations, and then the end will come. It's actually one of the last things that concern you and I. But we can't control the events in Israel. We can't control the events of sinful man. We can't control the marriages that are disintegrating. We can't control rebellious children. We can't control those things that are written of at the end of the age. But we do have a part, don't we? Because one of the things that's the commission to the church is this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. Actually, it's the last prophecy, because after that it says the end will come. So there's nothing after that that really concerns us. Everything's then in God's order. But actually, this is key, isn't it? So what is this gospel of the kingdom? Seems to be quite different than the gospels that we hear today. Put your hand up, and you're saved now. Everything in life's going to be wonderful. You know, you put your hand up. I don't have that in any verse in my Bible, but that's the message, isn't it? Oh, come to the front, and now you're a brother. You know, where does it say these things? Is that the gospel of the kingdom? I don't think it is it? So we've got all these messages today, but this is the one the preachers don't want you to know. You know, this is the message that the religious don't want you to know, because this message of the kingdom is actually where life is. Now, in Matthew's gospel, it talks a lot about the kingdom. It portrays Jesus as the king of his kingdom. And it recounts in the early chapters of John the Baptist, doesn't it? And his initial message is, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus comes, he's baptized, he recognizes this is the one that was to come after me, that is greater than me, that is preferred before me. I'm not even worthy to undo his shoe laces. And he is filled with the Holy Spirit at the baptism. And Jesus comes and preaches his first words that's recorded out of his mouth are exactly the same as what came out of John the Baptist's mouth. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Now, almost immediately after that statement, we have in Matthew 5, 6 and 7, we have three chapters of Jesus, probably his longest recorded sermon, if you like, isn't it? It starts with the Beatitudes. But it's three entire chapters about this kingdom. And so here we have the most valuable bit of scripture. If actually someone said to me, you can only have two pages of your scripture, the rest of it you've got to throw away, I'm only letting you, it would be Matthew 5, 6 and 7. Because this tells you about the kingdom and how to get in it. Now, after that, I don't need to know anything else because I'm in the kingdom and that'll do for me. I'll learn the rest when I get there. But the entrance to this kingdom. Now, we've heard, I'm sure, many of these things. Just maybe look at a little bit in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. I know I'm jumping to the end, but I'm jumping to the end part of this summary of the kingdom for a reason. Because this speaks to me. I don't know whether it speaks to you the same, but I can share it with you. Enter ye at the straight gate. That word straight is not straight as in straight, as in a straight line. It's straight, straight, as in a straight jacket. You know, when you put a straight jacket on, it's confined, it's restricted, it's narrow. So we have this thing, enter ye at the straight gate. Enter at the narrow gate. Because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, we'll have heard this spoken of many, many times. And two things I'd like to bring a notice to is that there's two things here. There's a gate, isn't there? And then there is a way. So, to get it, for you and I to enter this kingdom, for you and I to enter this kingdom, there's two parts to it, isn't there? First of all, we have to discover this narrow gate. And then after we've discovered and entered this narrow gate, what is set before us is a narrow way. Now, one of the things that I find... Move over here in case it's that form. One of the things I find here is there are two ways. There's a broad gate, isn't there? A broad gate and a broad way. And there's a narrow gate and a narrow way. Few find this, actually. Few find it. It leads to life. The broad gate, many find it and it leads to death. So if we're going to enter this kingdom, and we're going to understand that this gospel of the kingdom is the one that's going to be preached to all nations, we need to understand about this kingdom, don't we? And we need to understand, actually, it's a narrow way. And before you even get on the narrow way, you've got to discover this narrow gate. Now, what I find that's interesting about this scripture and it's the place it's at. It's where one of the things that I discover and I love about the Word of God is sometimes it isn't just the verse or what it says. It's where it is. You see, this is a summary. At the end of today, no doubt, I will summarize what I have tried to say in a few words. It'll be the sum of all things. It's the way of it, isn't it? You know, you go to a convention, you go to a teaching, you get the whole preamble, and at the end you get the summary of it. This is the sum of it. Paul often said, this is the sum of it, isn't it? This, you know. Hebrews, when he talks about the old covenant and the new, you know, well, this is the sum of it, you know. This is the sum of it. Because when we read Matthew 5, 6 and 7, what he's saying is, this is how you live a kingdom life. This is kingdom living. And when you've read this, you'll certainly find out two things. It's a narrow gate and it's a narrow way. Because this kingdom living, this is what is set for the church. Because all the kingdoms of the world we read at this end of the age, all of them are fallen. There was an Assyrian kingdom, you can read about it, but it is no more. There was a Greek kingdom. And you can read of that, but it is no more. There was a Babylonian kingdom, and you can read of that, and there is no more. There's a Roman kingdom, but there is no more. But in the midst of all these kingdoms, Daniel sees a vision. And he sees a different kingdom, with a different king. And he said, now this kingdom, and of this king, there will be no end. This kingdom will stand forever. This kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. When a man enters this kingdom, if he finds a way into this kingdom, he will live forever. He will never be destroyed. Of this kingdom, there's no end. But it's a narrow gate, and it's a narrow way. So you look at Matthew 5, it starts with the Beatitudes, doesn't it? Let's think of how the world thinks, as opposed to, this is the kingdom of the world, as opposed to thinking within the kingdom of heaven. And then we can decide, because it's not for me to point the finger, nor to judge. You can point the finger at me, but I have no intention of pointing it at you. Because when we see kingdom living, that is the world's kingdom, and kingdom living, that is the kingdom of heaven, then you and I, in our own private thoughts and hearts, can begin to decide, which kingdom am I walking in? And have I discovered this narrow gate? And am I walking this narrow way? Or actually, am I in a broad way? And have I entered through a broad gate? Because if I had, then I need to beware, because actually death is the very end of that road. Now, in the Beatitudes, you see, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, the world will say, no, they're the mugs. They're the meek ones. Everyone walks all over. These are the weak ones. These are the humble ones that don't get on in life. But in the kingdom of heaven, they're blessed. Now, which one do you believe? See, if you believe the kingdom message, that's a narrow way. It's a narrow way. So if that will make you vulnerable, we've got to be willing to be vulnerable before the world. We've got to be willing to be a target. We've got to be willing to be mocked at and laughed at. Because the world's thinking is different. No, the aggressive, the strong, the ambitious, these are the ones. No, actually, it's the poor in spirit, those who mourn. It's the meek. The world's kingdom will tell you that if you're ambitious and you get money and grow and so. But it's those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not those who hunger and thirst after money. See, it's a narrow way, isn't it? That's why Jesus sums up these messages. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow gate to this way. Which kingdom are we in? Which kingdom are we in? You see, the religious kingdom can make it sound like a very wide gate. What do? They widen the gate. And you know, if I was paid on results and I was speaking out in meetings and I want 100 to get forward and I get my money, and if one came forward and I got very little, well, I tell you what I'd do, I'd widen the gate. Because if I widen the gate, many come in. But if I say, oh no, this is a narrow gate, this is, and it's a narrow way. You see, it says, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When were you last happy when you were persecuted? When did you rejoice and be exceeding glad? Because you were mocked for your faith. When did you say hallelujah and thank Jesus when your family persecuted you or rejected you or made a mockery of you because of your faith? You see, it's a narrow walk, isn't it? It's a narrow way. Now, I'm almost unsure what to pick out of these three chapters. But you see, when we walk like that, this narrow way, the world doesn't live like this. The kingdom of the world can't live like this. The kingdom of the world can't walk this narrow way. But when we do, we go on, he fulfills the next part. You're the salt of the earth, because the world has to be preserved and salted and seasoned and made better. And it's the church of Jesus Christ that lives a kingdom life in the midst of it that's the salt. And if the salt has lost its savour, it's good for nothing. You might as well just throw it in the bin. They used to put salt to sterilize the ground. They used to rub salt to sterilize the bit. The salt was a preservative. It was a cleanser. It was everything. That's what we are. We're a cleanser to the world. The world sees evil and sin and wickedness all around because that's how the kingdom of the world lives. If the kingdom of the world cannot see a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, well, there's no salt in us. So, you see, it's a narrow way, isn't it? This is a narrow walk, because upon us is a responsibility to live such a different life. But first we have to find that narrow gate and walk this narrow way. But that's the only way into the kingdom. And actually, the truth is, only few find it. Now, you're the light of the world, it goes on to say. Well, the world's full of darkness. And if we do what the world does, then we're also darkness. But which kingdom are we in? This is a challenge to our hearts, isn't it? Do we rejoice when we're persecuted? Do we have this knowledge that by standing with Christ in all that we do, that it's a blessing to God and therefore a blessing to us? Are we salting the earth? Are we bringing light where there's darkness because of the way that we live? He goes on about murder, doesn't it? He goes on about all of these sins. It says that those who teach men to do things but don't do it themselves, that do we do that? Is our life in the kingdom of this world or is it in the kingdom of heaven? Do we point the finger and tell others how they should be living while in secret we live a different life? Well, that makes us in the kingdom of the world, doesn't it? Where's God's children who have a message? This is a narrow way. And if you actually said, you know, come into the kingdom in this broad, marvellous way with a broad, easy road, you'd have a queue. But the gospel that's being preached is not the gospel of the kingdom. You know, we can go on here. It goes on about reconciliation, about being angry with your brother. But we can praise God and sing and do things while we've got bitterness in our hearts. But that's how the kingdom of the world works. It's not how the kingdom of God works. So which kingdom are we in? Do we have bitterness towards our brother? You see, on the broad way, you're allowed to have bitterness in your heart. In the broad way, you're allowed to have unforgiveness. There's a broad gate in there. In the broad gate, you're allowed to be greedy for money. You're allowed to do all things on this because actually it leads to death, it leads to destruction. It's just the kingdom of this world. But the gospel of the kingdom is, no, my children, because you have a different king. And you belong to a different kingdom. So you have to walk a narrow way. Because Jesus is the only gate. There is no other gate. And his teachings is the only way. There is no other way. Now this is severe. All of us, well, I can feel the queue lessening as we speak. You've heard it said, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at a woman, even lustfully in your heart, you have committed adultery in your heart. See, it's a narrow way. You're not allowed to do it in the kingdom of God. It is not part of the kingdom of heaven, where righteousness dwells and holiness dwells. That's why people don't want to walk this way. Why don't they want to walk this way? Because it's a narrow way. So what do the false prophets do? Oh, no, 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 no. God, he's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. You know, you're fine. You know, don't you worry about that. It's a broad way. It's a broad gate. Let's see the queue. Don't forget the offering baskets over there. The truth is, this is, by the way, this is not my opinion. This is not my words. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Enter ye at the straight gate. Enter ye at the narrow gate. Because narrow is the gate. And narrow the way that leads to life. and few will find it. And broad is the way, and broad is the gate that leads to death, and many go in. You go to read about marriage and divorce. What do you hear today? Well, everybody does it. The world's a different place. Come in the broad way. Come in the broad gate. What are these speakers doing? They're widening the gate. And when you see a wider gate, it's time for God's people to say there's only one place that the wide gate leads you. That's to a wide way. And there's only one place the wide way will lead you. It's straight into hell. And when I hear and I see religion as opposed to the kingdom of God, never before have I ever seen it project such a broad gate and a broad way as it does today. But the kingdom of God has a narrow gate and a narrow way. And Jesus said, enter ye at the straight gate. Marriage is precious to God. You've heard it said about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, revenge. I hear it in most. Well, it's understandable. I mean, if someone did that, you know, we're all human beings. You know, we've got feelings. We're bound to react like. Yeah. Well, let's just go through the broad gate then. Let's just walk this broad way. But you know, God wants us to know what the end of that broad way is. It's death. See. We have all these wonders and the glory and the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom. He said, repent, because the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And then he says, now this is the teaching about the kingdom. You enter it through the narrow gate, which is Jesus alone. And you walk a narrow way. I say, whoever smites you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I spent a lot of years in martial arts. Doesn't come natural to me. don't put me to the test. I might backslide. You never know. It's human nature. That's what we hear. It's human nature. Human nature belongs to the kingdom of the world. Human nature. If we're still alive, we have human nature. If any man is in Christ, He dies with him and he lives for Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old passed away. It's human nature. Oh, I'm sorry, it's human nature, is it? I thought that was dead. It's still alive. You see, it's a narrow way. It's a narrow way. We have to understand that the kingdom of heaven has a narrow gate and a narrow way. Religion will never preach this. Firstly, there's no profit in it. Secondly, there's only a few converts in it and even fewer disciples in it. Because people want numbers. They want congregations. Well, I could start a church and have 1,000 in it tomorrow. I'd go around all the churches. How wide is their gate? Well, I'll make it wider. And how wide is their way? Well, I'll make it broader still. But I'd rather sit with four people in my home. And we focus on the mercy and the grace of God that can, by his love and by his changing power, make even such as you and I walk a narrow way. Because of grace, because of mercy, because of the empowering of the Spirit of God. You see, this kingdom, all of a sudden, this message of the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom has got to be preached to all the nations. I'm pretty sure there's only going to be few when you look at the kingdom living. Would you agree? How many would sign up for this? He said, put your hand up and walk down to the front. You've been for a long wait. But this is the truth. This is the truth. Someone forces you to walk a mile. Well, walk within two. Someone takes your coat. We can black his eye and take your coat back. No, that's the broad way, isn't it? Give him your cloak as well. You see, well, that's ridiculous. That's just vulnerability. What did Jesus do? He gave his all. He was left with nothing. He didn't leave a penny. And his clothes, they took those as well. And they stripped him naked. And they humbled him in front of all the world and made a mockery of him. Did he resist them? Did he strike the other cheek? Human nature would. What was he showing us when he said, forgive them? This is the narrow way. That's what he was saying. This is the narrow way. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, you see, this is the. I'm sure we all do these things. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not there yet. Or maybe there's more than me here. Love your enemies. Well, we all do that, don't we? That's the easy one. Loving our enemies, yeah. I've seen people tell you, great speakers, cursing people, speaking against people. They're living a broad way. They preach a broad way. Love your enemies. You see, why is it such a difficult, narrow way? Because actually, no man of his own strength can live like that. That's the truth of it. You and I cannot do this without the Spirit of God. It's not possible. I don't believe. We can be nice. We can be quite forgiving, patient. But we've all got limits, haven't we? But Jesus didn't have any limits, did he? So what spirit was in him that enabled him to walk like this? Well, it wasn't a religious spirit, that's for sure. They wanted to kill him. Why did they want to kill him? Because he walked in, he said, see all these broad ways? See this broad gate where you just turn up on the Sabbath and do your thing and do this and that and the other? Well, actually, that's not how it is. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow gate. Not only have you got to love your enemies, I love him, through gritted teeth, you've got to bless them. Pray that they will be blessed. The next time someone steals money off you or sues you in the courts, what do I sometimes listen and see what Christians say. God's going to judge him. He'd be lucky if he doesn't get turned to stone. You know, and then all the venom comes out that's in the heart. That is no different than the world. That's the kingdom of the world. It's an extraordinary man or woman that says, Lord, he's taken all my money. Well, God bless him. Bless him and increase him and do him good. Because I love him. Only the Spirit of God in man can change a man. You see, it's a narrow way. Enter in at the narrow gate and walk the narrow way. Because if we don't, we're not salt to the earth. And we're not a light to the world. We're the same as the world. See, if you only love those who love you, Jesus said the publicans do that. This is the kingdom teaching. The publicans do that. What do you do more than those? If you greet and embrace and salute those that greet and salute you, well, do not even the sinners, the tax collectors, do that. What do you do more than these? See, that's the kingdom of the world. What do you do more than this? If we looked into our lives, is that kingdom living? Have we entered this narrow gate? And if we have, are we too scared to walk that narrow way? See, we need to be empowered. This is what the true church will do. God has shown me something. When this tribulation comes, when this time of the end comes, when all of a sudden persecution is rife, what was this narrow way when the Romans rounded up these families and children and babies? and threw them as sport to the gladiators or to the lions? Did they choose a broad way? Did they choose a broad gate? No, they actually went through a narrow gate and a narrow way, and they became the mockery of the world, and it cost them the life, and the saints' blood was shed. But it leads to life. Of this kingdom, there'll be no end. And in a million ages, it will barely have begun. Because of this kingdom, there is no end. We could go on, couldn't we? Because there's so much of it. But the Lord's Prayer is wonderful. And is part of the prayer life of those in the kingdom. But of course, there's an emphasis here. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. Which, of course, we all do. But you see, this is why it's a narrow gate. But if ye... this is Jesus talking about it, not me. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Now, if I wanted to broaden the gate tonight, I'd miss that out. Because that makes it a bit broader, doesn't it? And if I missed a couple of the other things out, well, then that's broader still. And then you've got a very broad way to walk on. But you see, where does this fit with you? If you lift your hand up in a meeting, well, that's it, you're saved, brother. I see that hand, you're now saved. Does he know that if he does not forgive all those who offend, that neither will his heavenly Father forgive him? Does he know that? Has he had the gospel of the kingdom? Has he been told that this gate that he has got to enter of Jesus is the narrowest gate of all and there is no other way? And that he's set before us a kingdom life? Now, of course, it is a kingdom of power. It's a kingdom of glory. But that power and that glory and that energy and that life of the Spirit is only on the narrow way. It's like a knife blade. The power of God that descends on a man is not 1 inch to the right of that road, nor is it 1 inch to the left of that road. This empowering of the Spirit of God is on the narrow way. And those who walk the narrow way can hear God, and they know God, and they are empowered by God. And they can love their enemies and bless those who hurt them. And they don't have to say, well, I'll have to forgive him because God won't forgive me. In their heart, there is no malice. In their heart is God's heart that loves and has mercy. The Beatitude, with whatever mercy you show, it's brought back to you. But that's God's heart. His mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. They're new every morning. But the people I see on the Broadway, they'll meet some light affliction in life, and we might think it's a great trial, but in truth it's a light affliction. And they will whinge and complain to God of this one light affliction and ignore 1,000 mercies that are upon them every day, of food and air to breathe and of clothes, of having so many good things around them, of rain and harvest and provision in abundance. And we complain at God of one light affliction. That is not the narrow way. God's heart is in his people. You won't find it in the world. You see, in the world you can't be expected to forgive everybody. But this is a narrow way we're talking about, isn't it? It's a narrow way. So in this narrow way, we are expected to forgive everybody. Unconditionally. Then we have secured the knowledge that we too will be forgiven. Unconditionally. What we forget sometimes, or maybe it's just, we forget, this is Jesus talking here. This is Jesus who said, now you either believe him or you don't. I either believe him or I don't. If you do not forgive all, that's a narrow way, isn't it? All. Neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. That's a narrow way. I'm sure, well, we won't be guilty of this one. No, no, surely not. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth, rust corrupt, and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For wherever your treasure is, there's your heart also. See, that's a narrow way. That is so contrary to the world's way. The world doesn't think like this, does it? Let's be honest. That's the kingdom of the world. It doesn't think this way. You see, this should put to us a question. I remember sharing a similar message to someone one day. I was sharing it with somebody. This was a while ago. He said, you know, you made me feel like I'm not saved. I said, good. Because what's wonderful about being saved is this. You have a sure and certain hope. And if you don't have a sure and certain hope, then how can you be saved? And if I put a doubt in your heart tonight, then you never had that sure and certain hope. Because when you have Christ within you, you have a sure and certain hope that is an anchor to your soul. Because every time we step off this path, because our heart grieves, because we love him, we see this abundance of mercy. Why? Because we show mercy to others. We see the grace abounding in our sin, because we show the same grace to others. And we receive this glorious forgiveness, because we forgive others the same. That is the sure and certain hope that we have. And that is the gospel of the kingdom. Enter ye in at the straight gate. People down, preach says that the places would be empty. But where are they going on when they walk through this broad gate? You tell me where they will end up when they walk this broad way. Tell me what the end of that road is. Jesus tells me where the end of that road is. Are we content? Do we want to be at the end of that road? Are we content to see others at the end of that road? What a day if someone said to me, you never told me. Well, we don't need to tell them. If you walk this, you won't need to tell them. You walk this narrow way, you won't need to say a word, I tell you. They'll ask you. They'll ask you. Because there has to be something so extraordinary about a man that walks this way, the world will not miss it, believe me. They will inquire about the hope that's in you. Why? Because you have a sure and certain hope. Because when all those on the Broadway, you see, they don't have this certainty, this fear of death, this fear of judgment, this fear of consequence, because sin has a consequence. And when someone all of a sudden begins to realize that he has no hope, he doesn't have hope in his heart, and all around him he sees there is no hope. And then up comes a rare individual, and by the way, there's only a few, because we read there's only a few, who walks through life, there's a narrow way, forgiving those who hurt him, loving those who mock them, blessing those who persecute them, and embracing all those that would rather kill him stone dead. What they see in that man is something. A sure and certain hope. And this gospel of the kingdom has to be preached in all the nations, all four corners of the earth. Then the end will come. And Jesus is waiting for this that he preached in these three chapters to be repeated and preached to all the nations before the end can come. And we have taken all of this. We haven't even got through it. We haven't even got through the first half of it. But we have changed this into, put your hand up, brother. I see that hand. You're saved. That's what we've changed this to. How wicked is that? How bad is that? God forgive us. God forgive us. Enter ye at the straight gate. Because narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate that leads to life. And no wonder there's a few. Now we question ourselves, are we the few? The good thing about this life is we don't worry, do we? Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Do not worry. What are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? Where the money's going to come from? That's what the people in the kingdom of the world do. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the fields. I clothe them. So where's our thinking? Is our thinking on the Broadway? Have we entered a broad gate with broad thinking on a broad way? Well, you're at liberty to worry on that road. You have the remit that you are allowed to worry. It's perfectly permissible to worry on that road. In fact, if you're on that road, you should worry, because there's a lot to worry about. But a man that's walking this narrow way, what has he got to worry about? He hasn't anything to worry about, has he? What awaits him is heaven's glory, eternally. He's entered the narrow gate. He's walking the narrow path. He's one of the few that has found life. He has a sure and certain hope. I've spent some time recently reading of some of the old people who paid an immense cost. Some of the ejected ministers back in the 1600s, you know, you read of these great people. We say great people, forgive me for that, Lord, you know. But they were men of wonderful example, weren't they? Men that faced death. And we've had Wesley and we've had many of the revivals. The cost that these men... Why? Because they actually entered the narrow gate and they walked the narrow way and people wanted to kill them. But what do these men say? Oh, I'm worried. I'm worried. I've read some of these things. You can take my life, but you cannot take my soul. You can take my head, but you cannot take my crown. Didn't sound like they were worried to me. You can take this body, but you cannot take my salvation. Because I'm in a kingdom of which there is no end. That doesn't sound like they're worried to me. Does it you? Did Stephen look worried? When he said, Father, forgive them, you know, forgive them, Lord. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father to receive, and he fell asleep. Did he look worried? Like a face, like an angel. He shone. They were throwing stones at him. He's, what is he doing? He found the narrow way. Why do we know Stephen's definitely in heaven? He was forgiving them when they were doing it. He was blessing them when they were doing it. He shone like an angel. He wasn't worried. That's kingdom living. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Do not worry. Do not say what we drink, what we clothe. For all these things that the Gentiles seek. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things, whatever we need that pertains to life, he'll provide. Seek first. It doesn't say seek the kingdom, does it? It says seek first. Some may seek the kingdom, but how many seek it first? First. Seek the kingdom. Well, if we're going to seek this kingdom, the end of chapter 6. If we're going to seek this kingdom, we're going to find out when we seek it, we'll discover something. When we get to the point where we've got an entrance to this kingdom, we'll find it's a narrow gate. And if we want to walk and live in this kingdom, we'll find it's a narrow way. Then we go on a little bit more. Judge not. Judge not, lest you be judged. How easy it is that we spot the mote in our brother's eye, and yet there's a beam in our own eye. We could go on, but actually I think maybe we've... have I made the point here? Are we beginning to discover something about the kingdom of heaven? You see, the kingdom is there, of heaven, and the kingdom of the world is here. And there's a road to it. You and I can walk this road. and enter into this kingdom and live forevermore. It has a narrow gate. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's the gate. The knowledge of his shed blood and all he did for us. But that's the gate. That's the gate. People don't want to tell us of the narrow way that then leads to life. As long as we breathe in air in this world. You see, that's the summary of this sermon, isn't it? Let me summarize what I've said. This is it. Entering at the straight. He knows this is a narrow gate. He knows this is a narrow way. There's just three chapters. If we lived like this, you wouldn't need the rest of it, would you? Because actually, you'd live forever in his kingdom. It's three chapters. This is the value of the wonderful word of God. I'm not saying you shouldn't read the rest. Of course, you know what I mean by this. But if you walk this way, you've got it all. Kingdom living. Kingdom life. What I find interesting is there's a little warning here. This is the point. You see, when we read the scriptures and we just quote a little bit, let me encourage you to take note not only of what it says, but where it says it. See, the entering of the straight through the straight gate and walking the straight way is the summary of what he said. Because everything that he's mentioned here is straight. It's narrow. It's confined. There is no leeway. This is the point. He says, now beware of false prophets. See, false prophets will preach the gospel. False prophets will tell you all about Jesus. They can preach the blood, they can preach the cross, they can preach this, they can preach that, they can preach all sorts. What a false prophet cannot do is walk this walk. A false prophet cannot walk this narrow way because he's a false prophet. He cannot forgive his enemies, he curses them. That's how you know them. He says, you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. Well, take note of where this is. He's just told us what the fruit of the kingdom, the narrow walk, the narrow gate, the narrow way. What do you say? Your false prophets, they can't do this. They can't live a kingdom. They can't enter through this narrow gate. It's too restricting for them. Nor can they walk this narrow way. So actually, when you see them preach, what are they doing? It's all laying up treasures on earth. Oh, don't forget the offering basket. Oh, and oh, God will bless you. You keep pouring it in. What example do we have? Did Jesus ever ask for money? I don't see any script. What did Paul say? We labored with the hands. We gave you everything. You know what manner of men we were before you. We lived exemplary. We coveted no man's silver or gold. The Father lays up for the children not for the Father. That's kingdom living. That's kingdom living. The false prophets cannot live like that. It's too narrow. They've broadened a way and broadened a gate. That's what their preaching does. Listen to them. They just widen the gate and it goes straight to hell. But life, it's a narrow way. That's not there by coincidence. It's there to tell you how you can spot a false prophet. And why wouldn't they preach it? Because it would expose them. They don't get a full offering basket when they've just preached, don't lay up treasures in heaven. You'll know them by the fruits. Hallelujah. And that's the point in time when they knock on the door on judgment day and Jesus says, hello, I never knew you. I never knew you. Yeah. Oh, hang on a minute. We've preached in your name. They have the arrogance to correct him. They're so arrogant. This is the arrogance of the religious. They're that arrogant that even after Jesus said, I never knew you, depart from me into, you know, you workers of iniquity. They're so arrogant. This is what religious spirits do. It reaches a height of arrogance where it tells God he's got it wrong. No, hang on a minute. You've made a mistake here. This is the Lord of glory who's never made a mistake in eternity, nor will he ever make one. You got it badly wrong. Let me tell you the list. I've done this in your name and that in your name, and I've dined at your table. We've eaten together. Jesus knows those who have entered. He is the gate. And he knows everyone that's gone through him. Everyone by name. He's walked with them along the way. When they've wept at the suffering, his arm has been round them. When they've cried out to him in the midst of persecution, he has wept with them. He knows them by name. He knows them by nature. He knows every fibre of your being. Because he's walked with you on the narrow way. Enter ye at the straight gate. And walk the narrow way. Because that's where he is. You are never alone. He walks with you every step of the way. And it leads to life. Many will say to me, why will many say to him? Because it's the many that have gone the broad gate. Many will say, hang on a minute, Lord, that these aren't unbelievers, are they? These aren't people who have never had... No, whoa. We have prophesied in thy name. Yeah. We've casted out devils in thy name. We have done many wondrous works in your... We're not talking unbelievers here, are we? We're talking about those that were deceived into thinking something was the kingdom of heaven that actually was a different kingdom. Those who believed they were walking the kingdom way, but actually weren't walking the kingdom way at all. And how do we know which is the difference? Because narrow is the way that leads to life. Narrow is the gate. And few actually find it. This gospel of the kingdom has to be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. It concludes, and this is the relevance. Whoever hears these sayings of mine, this is the end of his sermon. And bear in mind everything I've said to this, you read it for yourselves. This is not my opinion, by the way. If you say, I don't agree with you, don't come and shout at me. Go off to the prayer room tonight and say, Lord, I don't agree with you. This is what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. But you can read it for yourself, of course. You think we don't need a preacher, do we? Because actually, we can read it for ourselves. But sometimes we read it, but we don't read it. Because we read it with broad eyes. And we read it with broad minds, don't we? And just occasionally, we need someone to come and get a set of blinkers on. Just let me narrow that down for you a bit here. Let me just tell you what it actually says, not what your mind's telling you hope it says. Because religion tells you what you hope it says. Well, as long as you come here on a Sunday, as long as you do this, as long as you do that, with plenty in the offering, you know, everything works out fine, you know. Let's just all have a broad way. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man that builds his house on a rock. Whoever doesn't hear these... Now, what are these sayings? These are the sayings I've just told you that are his sayings. This is the kingdom message. This is kingdom living. The man that lives like this, his house is on a rock. He is immovable. He is blessed. He is empowered. He has an anchor to his soul. He has a sure and certain hope. And when you've got a sure and certain hope, you know, it radiates from you. When a man has no doubt, it spills out. When Paul said, I am fully persuaded, they didn't need to tell him. They knew he was fully persuaded. He was stoned. He was flogged near to death 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He'd been shipwrecked 3 times. He'd been left in the deep, nearly died, left for dead. Everybody... You don't do that unless you're fully persuaded. What a narrow way God had for Paul. That doesn't sound like a broad way to me. But you see, everyone who hears, now we've heard these words now, haven't we? So we have, all of a sudden, we have an obligation. don't we? Because whoever hears these words and does not do them is like to a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. How many fall under affliction, under trials? And why? Because they walked the broad way. But how can we stand? How could Paul possibly stand with his beatings and continual trials? Because he was on the narrow way. And he'd entered a narrow gate. And on that gate, and on that way is an endless supply of mercy and grace and the Spirit of Christ and empowerment beyond measure. Day in, day out. Fresh every day. An ever-flowing spring that wells up within us that knows no end. All of that is on the narrow way. It seems a very small price to pay to me for an entrance into such a glorious kingdom of which there is no end. When that house falls, Jesus said, great will be the fall of it. What a day it would be to hear the words, I never knew you. I never knew you. Well, whose table were they sat round breaking bread? Which spirits they were casting out and in whose name? Who were they prophesying about? We have some questions that need answers, don't we? But how do we know them? By the fruit. And how does the world know you and I? By a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians, is love, joy, peace, patience. Not love, joy, peace and patience when everything's going great. But Paul, when he's in prison, and they sang a hymn. And when the world became too much for him sometimes, he said, I was pressed above measure, tested beyond everything. No one stood with me. I despaired of life itself. Have you ever been there? But you see, when you find that place on the narrow way, something comes underneath. A surging power of no limit. But the Lord stood with me and empowered me and released. And health and life and power came from because he's on the narrow way. That's where that provision is. That's kingdom living, kingdom life, kingdom power. And this gospel of the kingdom has to be preached to all the nations so that the end can come. He's waiting for this gospel to be preached so the end can come. And you will see the end coming sooner than maybe we realize. And now it's time to be about our Father's business. We have a message. Narrow is the gate that leads unto life, and narrow is the way, and few find it. I hope and trust that many of us, I hope all, are the few. Amen. Amen.